Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about a touch of football can get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, Ravens Nation, to a brand new edition of The Call. It's two Ravens fans talking Baltimore Ravens football. I got my Baltimore shirt on. I know my buddy Josh. He's Skyping in with me. He's ready to go. What's up, Josh?
Hey, buddy. I don't know what I got. I got orange and black, purple and black. Man, it's Festivus around Baltimore right now.
It's like the weirdest bruise you could ever get.
I mean, you're right. I mean, I can't help but talking about it. I mean, the Orioles are doing great. The Ravens, I mean, hey, what a rocky week, but we're getting over. It's only week two. No panic yet.
Yeah. So did you stay up and watch all 18 innings of that O's game?
You know what? I fell asleep in inning 14. I couldn't barely make it. But it was great to see. But I know the touch on Orioles a bit, I just can't help but gush about them. I mean, they're almost, you know, pulling my attention. It's like I'm watching games midweek. I'm trying to work my week's work schedule around the games and trying to look at Ravens news. I mean, it gives us something else to look at, which is great in Charm City. And all the fans are talking about it. And we're already talking about what we're going to do if they meet the playoffs versus going to games. I mean, hey, this is great for us right now in Baltimore. I love it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can't wait. September baseball actually meaning something. It's like a new feeling for us. It's been 15 years.
Heck, we're going to have to start doing an Orioles podcast, right?
Yeah, I think so. Call them demos.
Exactly.
So, yeah, since we are going to talk the Ravens, get everybody ready. It's going to be Purple Friday in just a couple hours. So, again, you watched the game on Sunday. I didn't. I kind of caught the highlights. Tell me what you were thinking. What happened to the Ravens this past week?
What happened? Well, you say you caught the highlights. Low lights, highlights. I don't know what you call them. The lights were out because I don't know where they went in the second half. They probably pulled a Maryland Terrapin and went inside that shell because I don't know where the Baltimore Ravens went, but they weren't on the field on the second half.
Yeah, you know, I was getting updates on my phone, and I was feeling pretty good. I was like, man, you know, we're already at halftime, and these guys are sounding pretty good. Vonte Leach, one of my favorite players, man, gets a touchdown. So I was thinking we were going in the right direction, but then the second half starts, and it seems like the Ravens just kind of stayed in the locker room.
They did, and I was kind of agitated as a diehard fan. You know, not the product, but it was the quality of the product. You know, here we are, you know, let's reset back to AFC Championship and we lose, blah, blah, blah. We know the deal. Ray Lewis says an awesome speech post-game. Don't head our heads high. We got to finish. We got to finish this time. Well, that word finish was on the field Sunday in Philadelphia at whatever time it was, 2:30 in the afternoon. It was atrocious. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, 17-7, we get the ball back at the second half. They couldn't stop Ray Rice. I mean, Ray Rice was breaking 7, 8, 9 yards a carry. He was busting. He broke two big ones. If it wasn't for a nice tackle on the defense, he probably wrote two long touchdown runs. You know, it was pedal to the metal. I'm like, let's throttle him. Let's finish him. I'm telling you what, Brandon, the offense came out flat. They came out stagnant, and it was just like the same old Ravens, almost like going back to last year. Wing big, and then we kind of, I wouldn't say lose big, but it is a big loss because we had them. We had them very good.
Yeah, I even one of the Ravens was on WNST this week and said, you know, we came out that second half and we didn't play like the Ravens. We played like a whole other team. And but everybody's looking forward to the Patriots coming up. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. But, you know, this was on me too. Do you think the Ravens kind of had that mentality that I had where they weren't really thinking about the Eagles? They were already looking forward to week three. Do you think that it just got in their heads that this wasn't going to be a tough game?
No, I'm already going to dispel that for you, Brandon, and just say, you know what, this team's not going to look ahead. You can pull Flacco, Ray Lewis, John Harbaugh himself. They're going to say the same thing I just echoed. They're not going to look to next week. I don't think this team did. I just think that they got full of themselves. They kind of got – I think it was almost like they got knocked off their egotistical horse, and so to say in that respective form, if you look at it, they did so well on Monday night. The offense was just a well-oiled machine, and I think that they were so proud of that, they could come down off the high, and then now we know what they're capable of. I think it's kind of measuring stick because, you know, hey, look what we did in week one. We got to duplicate it. But here's the thing. If they just be consistent and duplicate that, they're going to be successful. They're not going to go undefeated. Like I even said to my head, are you mad? Of course I'm mad after a loss, but here's the thing. This is the NFL. We're not going to go 16-0. Not to go on predictions, but I did predict this to be a loss back in April. So, again, we got two home games in primetime. We'll be I full-heartedly believe we'll be 3-1 in 2 weeks. We were 1-1 the same spot last year. What happened? We went 12-4, made the AC title game. I mean, come on, it's week two. If we can get it corrected now if this is week 12, 13, 14, then less time to hit the panic button. Like, whoa, guys, what are we doing?
Right. Now, a lot of people are talking about, especially, you know, national media, how they were saying Flacco is turning into an elite quarterback after week one. And now they're saying after the performance he had on week two, well, maybe we kind of called that a little too early. Maybe he's not who we thought he was, and he's not an elite quarterback. Do you think this loss, even though this is a team sport and everybody knows that, do you think this loss kind of weighs heavily on Joe Flacco's shoulders?
You can easily say that because of the quarterback position. It all falls on the quarterback and the head coach all the time. I mean, rarely do you see it fall on Ray Lewis's shoulders, Ed Reed's shoulders. That's the point in the NFL. If Peyton Manning screws up, if Tom Brady screws up, if look at Mark Sanchez, he takes as much flack as anybody. I mean, come on. It's just the quarterback position is so scrutinized where if you don't have a 400-yard, four-touchdown game and a perfect quarterback rating, you kind of suck that day. And it's hard to say that. And we're not talking fantasy numbers, but, I mean, going back to it, I mean, what the heck is the Ravens' game plan? I mean, look, you give Ray, and I'm fired up right now. I mean, you give Ray Rice a five-year deal, one of the best backs in the league, the top three rated best backs in the league this year. He had the most yards from scrimmage last year. Okay, what do we do? Let's throw it 14 of 17 with Flacco. We did okay, mix and run. Well, Joe Flacco was 8 for 25 in the second half, Brandon. What? I just don't get that. It's not like we were losing 17-7. We were leading.
Right.
So that heavy dose of rice all day long. And I was just like, what, beside myself, I'm like 3rd-and-2. We can go on and on about the whole play calling. Shouldn't they have sent, you know, shouldn't they have ran it? I mean, you have Vontae Leach, the best fullback in the league. I mean, if you look back in the top NFL top 100, Leach is in the top 100. Ray Rice top 100. Flacco's in the top 100. They're right there. If you line them up in I formation, you have three players in the NFL's top 100 in the backfield, and you're going to go empty on a 3-and-2. I mean, I'm not a genius. I kind of, you know, suck at Madden myself. I'm not a genius play caller here. But wouldn't you think to run a fullback on a 3rd-and-2 or a Ray Rice up the – I mean, what is this throwing 10 yards into the flat? And I just don't get it, Brandon. It was – I don't.
I think you're right there with a lot of Ravens fans right now because a lot of people were questioning a lot of that play calling. By the offense especially, and a lot of people, I think because of what's going on right now with this kind of being Flacco's offense, I think a lot of people are blaming him because he's the one that's kind of doing the shotgun, making some calls here. So he's the one that has been targeting certain players, and a lot of people are saying that he's targeting Pitta a little too much because they're such good pals on and off the field. But, you know, I don't understand. I didn't see it, so I can't really comment on it. But I think this offense has still got a lot of work to do to become a well-oiled machine behind Flacco, because this is the year where he kind of takes over, and I think even he learned something this past Sunday, and that he's got to adjust to fit each team each week.
That should be the game plan. You took it what I was thinking right there, Brandon. It's you're not.
That's why we do this show together, man. Because we you know what, we got like one mind.
It is. I mean, you're thinking it. I'm going to say it. You're going to say what I'm thinking. I mean, we just go right there. Peanut butter and jelly, right?
Exactly.
But, you know, that's what it should be. You got to tailor a game plan unique to your opponent. And we play one game a week. You know, it's different with the NBA. It's different with the NHL. And it's different with baseball because you play series. You play games day, night in, night out. It's kind of hard to really game plan your opponent. You just go out there and execute. Well, I mean, I don't know. And I don't follow those sports closely enough. But here's the thing. Again, you game plan a whole week for one opponent. You game plan, okay, if Michael Vick's a scrambling quarterback, you're going to game plan around that. And I think that's where the defense got lost. I mean, how the heck is Greg Celek get 200 yards receiving and just get lost in – they lose him. I'm like, he's not a hard man to find. I mean, he's not a Ray Rice. He's Brent Celek.
Yeah.
Like a Ray Lewis catching footballs out there, and you can't – I mean, and I'm not blaming it on that. This, something had to do with coverage, but there was one play in particular I saw, and I'm just like, what is Kerry Williams let the guy go? And I think Ed Reed was supposed to cover over the top. Well, they showed a replay. He didn't, and it was a wide-open touchdown. I'm just like, you know what? It's just – it was just one of those days where it just left you frustrated as a fan and left you frustrated as someone close to this team to know that, I mean, again, it was Cincinnati versus Philly. I know the opponent, but they had them by the throats. They had them on the ground, and it was almost like a boxing match. You had them wobbling, and he's on the mat. You have 8, 9, 10. They get up, and they just let them hang around, and look what happens when you let teams hang around. They ended up biting you in the butt and winning the game right at the end like they did, and it worked. And like I said, it was more frustrating at this point. I mean, I was agitated. If any, my friends could tell you, they're watching the game with me. I was highly, highly agitated. I'm just like, like the Ravens do something good. Like every pick off the ball, I hardly celebrated because I'm just like, we got work to do. I mean, yeah, it was kind of like you couldn't really get excited because you kind of knew the end result. And I've seen this game before. I've seen this replayed years and years before where. It's just one of the games where, honestly, in my gut, I knew we were going to lose. I wasn't going to speak it because I'm going to be Mr. Positive, and I think we're going to win every game. But realistically, I knew I just knew it. The game was going to slip away, and it did, Brandon.
That's really sad news. I mean, I was very heartbroken. I was on Twitter even throughout the last couple minutes of that game, trying to think, all right, well, Flacco's got the ball, and what yardage do we have to get to so Justin Tucker can come out and at least just, you know, get a field goal and put this one in the books. It'll be a close one, but that last drive, just, I mean, you just kept seeing, you know, drop pass, drop pass, drop pass, and it was very frustrating. Let's move on just a little bit though, and talk about something that actually, let's talk about like the yin and yang of this game, and that's Jacoby Jones. He's a guy who got his first touchdown wearing purple, his first Ravens touchdown. He got to dance a little bit, but then we have this second touchdown that gets called off by the refs. So tell me a little bit about that touchdown. What did you think about that one?
Well, that touchdown's going to open up a whole can of worms on this discussion because the refs, they didn't – I would say go far as they cost us games. I'm not going to start playing that whiny card.
Yeah.
I mean, the refs line. No, we lost it because, honestly, if you go back to the first offensive play of the game, Vic drives down the field. You know, I know I'm getting away from your ref question, but I'm looking at this. Vic goes all the way down the field. Pollard picks him off. First play of the game, Flacco drops back and fumbles a football. I mean, I've already said it don't matter refs or nothing. We can't win ball games turning the ball over, and Harbaugh will echo that too. No team can do that. And if you can, then I want the formula because we need it. But going back to the refs, it was kind of iffy call. I was kind of upset because I didn't see it, and the refs had the game out of their control from the get-go. Anything I have to say right now don't even describe how atrocious it was. It was horrid how you see Torrey Smith going down the sideline, and they got his jersey where the shield is engulfed in the guy's his palm of his hand because you can't even see it on the jersey because he blatantly holds him. And nothing was called. There were scrums everywhere. And then on the interference call, I thought Asamoah face guarded. I think he turned around and Jacoby had no choice but to push off. So I think it should have been a no call, if anything, because they were both battling for the football. Now I can understand if Asamoah was going to play the ball and Jacoby pushes him on his back and gets the leverage. Okay. He got away with it. Tough call. Great. He shouldn't have done that. You know, bad boy, go scold him kind of deal. But Not when the guy's draped all over you and you have no choice but to do something about it. And then the rest, and I think it was a bad call in general because they let the game get out so out of hand that, oh, they're going to make a call like this just fight. Well, here's the thing. They didn't call it in the beginning of the game. Why call it now when the game's on the line? That's what really fired me up.
Right. And, you know, even Flacco said that this is really affecting the game. These refs are really starting to affect the game. And, like you said, I don't want to blame the refs for this loss because it is on the Ravens, even though I think looking at the highlights or the low lights, as you call them too, it looked like a touchdown to me. And if he did push off of him, it's because that eagle was all over Jacoby Jones. That was the only way he could try to get a clear shot from Flacco. So I definitely think these refs are affecting the game. I don't think they're the whole reason why that loss happened. But here's the thing, too. I'm not going to blame the refs. You're not going to blame the refs. And we've already talked how we need to get the real refs back into the game. But if I remember correctly, I know I've always said this, and there's a lot of people on Facebook and Twitter that do it, too. And they're not real big fans of the regular refs, either, because they're always blaming the refs for bad calls on the Ravens. So it's kind of like a lesser of two evils, I guess.
I'm going to piggyback on that, what you just said. I heard something today on Sports Talk Radio today that just said what you just said. It's, you know, maybe the real refs aren't that much different, but here's the thing. We're monitoring them so much and putting them under a microscope because we know they're replacement refs, so we're going to scrutinize every little thing they do. But if you look at the game, I mean, I don't know if you watched the Monday Night game, but that was even worse. Mm-hmm. It was a disgrace to the NFL. It was just a disgrace in the league altogether where – I mean, our game almost took 4 hours, and I don't care about the game. I mean, if the game drags on, that's okay, but it was just getting ridiculous where it took almost over an hour to complete just the first quarter of Monday Night Football. The fans were booing. Even the Mike Tirico on ESPN, as well as John Gruden, were saying good comments like, you know, I've never seen it like this. This is unbelievable. This is ridiculous. Like, they were even echoing it. It was just overall distasteful, disgraceful. It turned me off where I almost couldn't wait to oral game at 10 o'clock Monday night because I didn't want to watch football. It was just – I was laughing, and I was watching the game with my pastor, and he actually said some pretty funny things. I think he had a tweet at night. I saw one tweet of the night where it said, "Free Ed Hockley," and I lost it. I was laughing. And he actually – my pastor got one of the best tweets tonight saying, "Where did they find these replacements, Foot Locker?" That was pretty friggin' hilarious. But it's true. I mean, we can sit here and poke fun. These games can't come down to the rest, but not just the Ravens game, but across the NFL. But it's getting out of hand, and the NFL has already come out and said that they're not going to take they actually warned NFL teams as of breaking news tonight, saying that they're going to warn teams for bantering and getting on the refs. But they created this monster. It's called, okay, well, give them $50,000 each more of all these refs, and we'll have a deal on the board. But the NFL is going to be greedy and stingy, but then they're going to have their cake and eat it too and come out and say you can't get on them. Come on, man. That's absurd.
Yeah, I agree with you, too. And there is the one thing that is in the back pocket of the Players Association is that if they feel that the working conditions are unsafe because of these scab refs, they could go on strike as well until the regular refs come back. Now, I haven't heard a lot of talk about that, so I don't think it's actually going to happen with the players. But that is something that they can think about in like the back of their mind.
Well, we'll find out tonight, won't we, on Thursday Night Football. It kicks off shortly that, you know, if they've even scrutinized it on national TV, let's see how good they do. But here's the thing. If they're replacement refs, why don't you teach these guys the right – I think it's not coming down to bad calls. It's coming down to the interpretation and judgment of the calls. Like, what is pass interference? Well, it's called if it's on a defensive back, it's called – like, what we as fans know is if the defensive back doesn't look back and he's putting his hands all in the air, that's blatant. But when you're up playing the ball, there's a difference. You just know what not to do, and the players don't even know what to do. And they're figuring, okay, the refs we're going to play into their hands, where if they're letting us get away with holding, I mean, they're going to do it. And it goes for both sides. And I'm telling you what, I don't know why I didn't see Anquan Boldin, but I guarantee some eagle was all over him all the afternoon and holding him because, you know, I just didn't see him. I'm like, I didn't even see 81 catch a pass, and if they did, someone please tell me because I didn't see it. It was just an overall mess. I mean, again, Brandon, end result was a loss. It was a frustrating loss, but here's the thing. We're going to learn from it. And if you really go back to the minute details of the season, it's an NFC loss, not an AFC loss, which in the columns, it will help out in playoff seeding because not to go in early, but we're 1-1 with the Steelers and everybody else. Well, the Steelers have lost an AFC game against the Broncos. We lost an NFC team. So, hey, if we can get maybe two or three losses on the season to NFC teams, I'd rather have that on the books and get it over with now. But what's done is done is it's a loss in Philly. We're 1-1, and there's a three-way tie right now in the AFC North. That's where we're at right now.
That's a very good idea, thinking ahead. I like where your head's at. Now, you started this last week, Josh, even though this was a loss. Are you giving the game ball out to anybody?
Yeah, you got to have game balls. I mean, here's what I'm going to give a game ball to is right on special teams, Mr. Justin Tucker gets my game ball. I mean, how about this kid? 3 for 3, 56 yards, ties a franchise record. he gets the game ball. And when, and that's why I was confident, because, hey, all the offense had to do was get to, what, the 45-yard line?
Yeah.
Because the kid can make a 60-yard field goal. He had room. So, really, that's what's more exciting as a fan. It's like, oh, we don't have to get to the 30. We can get to the 45 and still make a field goal. I mean, and it was kind of funny how deja vu happened all over again where – I mean, it was a something, a 60-something yarder, but Billy Cunniff down the road missed a 60-something yarder for the Redskins. But who can kick something like that is beyond me. But, yeah, game ball goes to Justin Tucker. I mean, he's 3 for 3. He kicked, 56, 51, and 48, which was impressive. And it helped us out. I mean, we needed the points when we needed them. And that's one of my game balls. And another game ball goes to Ed Reed with another pick. Ties the NFL with two. He's got a pick in each game, and I give it to Ed Reed. And kind of on the defense, you know, not as a whole, but individually. You know, Ray Lewis got the fumble recovery, so I'm going to give it to these guys for contributing. But the whole team is an effort. I mean, you know, we already know the outcome. So, but that's my game balls.
Very cool, man. Love to hear that. So now let's look forward. It's a couple days away. It's Sunday night, which is football night here in America, and we've got the AFC Championship rematch. We've got the New England Patriots against the Baltimore Ravens. Man, this feels like The Rock versus John Cena at last year's WrestleMania.
That was an event. I don't know if you watched it, but man, was that an event.
That was a major event. This is a game that everybody, not just New England, not just Baltimore, but everybody in this league is talking about. There is a huge, huge spotlight on this game. What are you looking for? What is the number one thing in this game that you're looking for from the Ravens?
I'm not going to say the word revenge. That's on everybody's mind. Like, revenge, this is new year, new season. I'm going to say get after Brady. That's three words, get after Brady. We didn't put hardly pressure on Vic, and I think it was more to the schemes. Again, you go back to game planning. They can't really rush Vic, because what's Vic going to do? He's going to burn you by running 50 yards off the field. You can't. You have to contain. That's why the Ravens did a zone, and they got burned for it. With the Patriots, they can do a lot of man-on-man coverage because Brady's a pocket passer, and I think if you rattle him, he's going to lose it. And the Cardinals gave the blueprint for beating them. That was a great game. It was a shocker of a game, but the Cardinals went up to Foxborough and beat the Patriots, and the Patriots are going to be without one of their stars as Aaron Hernandez is out, and you know how Brady loves his tight ends, and we got bit by a tight end this past Sunday, so you're right. Spotlight's going to be a Baltimore. This is almost like a must-win in Week 3 because you figure the team who loses goes down 1-2, and that's a hole. One game under 500 in NFL is kind of a big hole this early, especially when Pittsburgh goes out west and plays Oakland. You kind of, not saying we're scoreboard watching in Week 3, but you kind of want to see what your opponents are doing because the NFL is only 16 games. We have to measure it, and oh my God, this is going to be another big heavyweight fight. This is not as quite the Ravens-Steelers billing. Nothing would ever touch that, but right now, this is going to be one heck of a weekend. Speaking of fights, we got John Bones Jones fighting the night before in UFC, and that's Art Jones' brother, as we know, is plays on the Ravens. So, speaking of heavyweight fights, we got two of them in two nights, and let's get ready for football night in Maryland, right?
Oh my God, I am so excited for this game, dude. This is something. I mean, the AFC Championship was like a nail biter. It was down to the very, very end, and we all know what happened. But I think that the Ravens, they got something to prove. I don't even like. I know it's revenge. You know, some people are going to say revenge. The Ravens aren't going to say it's revenge, but they got something to prove. And Flacco, he's got a chip on his shoulder this season, which I love, and that he's got something to prove. And how better to show that you are an elite quarterback than taking down one of the best in the world right now. Tom Brady is an amazing quarterback, and to measure up against him, that's going to be a feat, and I think Flacco's up for it. But here's something that was kind of cool. I saw this on Twitter, that Tom Brady, when he was up against the Ravens last year, he had on his wrist, it said, always look for 20. So he constantly had an eye on where Ed Reed was, because he knew what kind of a ball hawk that Ed Reed was. So it's very obvious that I think there's a lot of respect from both teams. It's not like the rivalry with the Steelers where nobody likes anybody. I think both teams really respect each other. They know they're good. And I think that's what's going to make this game really stand out, is that you really do have two teams that was a championship game just a couple months ago. And now we're in Week 3 and we're going to see this again. This is a huge gain. game. This is a huge game. And it's something that the Ravens, I think, are up for. What I want to see, the biggest thing I want to see out of this game is that I want to see what Flacco can do against that defense. You know, the offensive line needs to give Flacco time. I said that even in the offseason when we were talking, you know, in the summer or in even the spring, that the Flacco needs time to get those people open so he can actually throw it to somebody or pass it off to somebody. And I think that's going to be a good test against the Patriots. And at the same time, Brady has a lot of targets. Of course, we know that he likes Welker and he likes Gronk. And both of those guys are going to be guys that you're going to have to keep an eye on the entire time. So it's going to really be up to the defense to shut those two guys down. These two teams remind me of just each other so much. I know everybody says the Ravens and the Steelers don't like each other because they're so similar and because they're very defense and they have great quarterbacks, but the Patriots and the Ravens, I think, are a lot alike, and every single time that they're up against each other, there's always a great game. You might remember, you're probably there. It was a couple years ago when Brady was in town, and it was, I think it was later in the winter, because I think it was actually snowing, and it was during the Patriots' undefeated season. We gave them a run for their money even during that season where Flacco was not our quarterback and it was Bowler. So this is really going to be one to watch, and it's something that I'm really looking forward to, and I think all eyes are going to be on Flacco that night.
You said it. I mean, we gave them a run for their money back, and it was at that game. That was an incredible, incredible game. Heartbreaker again. Hope it doesn't happen. I don't foresee a heartbreaker in this one. I'm going to predict a 21-17 Ravens win. Hard fought. I think it's going to be a little low scoring, just because I don't see an offensive output in this because Brady's without some targets. And we play well at home. I think the defense is going to come to a rise. I mean, they're announcing the defense. The energy is going to be so high. I'm going to be right above the tunnel where Ray Lewis is going to come out doing his dance. I mean, I'm getting fired up as we speak. It's just it's going to be a lot of energy, all eyes on us. And I think we get back on track, not looking ahead, but we have primetime Sunday night. Then we have a short week, and then we have to get right back on the podcast. We have a Thursday night football game next week, a week from tonight. So we get a treat this week. We have two games in a week. So, and I think they're both at home. So it is safe to say, looking at it from an analytical standpoint, 3-1 is easy doable here. We get past New England riding high. We rest a little bit, coming out with no injuries. And speaking of injuries, we have Bernard Pollard with the rib contusion this past Sunday. He should be ready to go. I don't see any reason why he shouldn't be. He's just taking it easy in practice. Ladarius Webb had a minor injury this week. He was on the do not practice list. I don't see any concern for them. Dennis Pitta moved up on the depth chart. He's Flacco's favorite, not to be confused with Pizza Hut, but he's Flacco's favorite target on the field.
It's Pitta Pepperoni. That's what it is.
Oh, that's a good one. Pitta Pepperoni for the touchdown. There we go. Wow. Hey, I mean, I love to see it. He did it week one. As long as Flacco don't get stuck, as I've seen him do that time and time again on Sunday, he didn't check down. He didn't look at his options. It was a three-step drop. Look at Dennis Pitta. Stop. It was just stop doing that. It was driving me crazy. But again, I think they get it corrected this week. I think the Ravens got something to prove, you know, with Belichick and company coming into town. This is a key AFC matchup in week three. It's going to be very important for number one playoff seeding, but if it plays out for home field advantage, we were going down toe-to-toe with the wire with this team last year with home field. And if it wasn't for a win or lose here, we could have had the game here in Baltimore instead of going to Foxborough. And we know that we've won an NFL record 12 straight at home so far. And we tied the Patriots for the best home record since, I think, like 2008. So as they play good at home, we do. And we went undefeated last year at home. I'm ready. I mean, we come to play at the bank. We play in front of the fans great. I'm excited, and I can't wait to get after it. I think it's going to be a great game. Like I said, 21-17, it's going to be great. It's a rematch, and here we go.
Besides Flacco, I want to bring this up too. For defense, you know, with Terrell Suggs still out, Tom Brady usually has a target on his back when Terrell Suggs is out there, because Terrell Suggs says he likes to go after the pretty boys, and Brady was one of his favorite targets. So we do have new guy, Courtney Upshaw. I don't know how much of an impact Courtney Upshaw is going to have on this match, because Tom Brady does have such a great offensive line, blocking for him, giving him time. So it might be a little too much for the rookie against this team. But I would like to see somebody like Haloti Ngata maybe make an impact up against Brady and kind of rattle him a little bit.
I would love to see some playmakers step up. I agree with you on that. If number 20 can be found on the field and Brady doesn't miss him, I think Brady gets another pick this week. I think Ngata can get back there with some sacks. I mean, he was in Vic's grill. I mean, how many times did Vic get roughed up by Haloti Ngata himself? That was great to see. If they could just provide that little pressure and keep it up every week until we get the pieces back, I'm not expecting Suggs back till maybe late in the season, maybe December, if anything, if not for the playoff push. You know, if we can keep that intact, I think if this defense puts pressure on, I don't have any reasons to believe it. I mean, we're ranked 27 defense. I don't care about ranks. Ranks and stats are for losers. It's about winning football games. And we come in at here 2-1. I don't care if Flacco has a 50-yard game and we win. I'm just going to be happy with the W at the end of the day. If we have more points than the New England Patriots, that's all I'm happy about come Monday morning. And I'm going to be hoarse on Monday, I tell you that. I'll be there. I'll be there on Sunday night. Can't wait. A lot of people I know are going. It's going to be a great environment. I know my dad's going. I'm going. I'm going to be down there early. I'm going to get some good reports, and I'm going to give it to the New England fans. Be respectful, but still give them trash because, hey, ain't nothing worse than Steelers fans, right?
Oh, there's nothing worse than Steelers fans.
You got that right.
Yeah, so let me think about this. All right, so I'm going to give my prediction. I think the Ravens are going to come out on top. That's what I'm hoping for. The fans are definitely a factor at M&T Bank Stadium, and I think Flacco is going to do something good for us. But again, I agree with you. I think it's going to be very low scoring. I mean, I'm thinking maybe like something like 14-10, something like that maybe.
Wow. Wow, that's crazy.
I don't see a lot of touchdowns. I think maybe like one or two for the entire game for each side. Possibly. I think there's going to be a lot of field goal attempts, and the weather's supposed to be good, so I mean there shouldn't be a lot of wind factor at M&T Bank. So I think it's going to be really low scoring. And but hey, if I'm wrong, and you know the Ravens win by like 30 points, I'm okay with that too.
We're all okay with that, as I predicted in week one, a 24-20 score, and look what they did. They trounced them. So maybe predicting low scores is a good omen for this team. And to set the stage for us, I'm sure everybody else has watched this week, but the NFL Network aired a special from Ray Lewis called Ray Lewis of Football Life, their Football Life series. Oh my gosh, was it powerful. It was a good hour. Wow, it was profound, powerful, action-packed. To get to see a side of Ray Lewis that most people don't, who don't follow his team, it was passionate. It almost made me want to run through a brick wall, knock the TV over. I was just... And my buddy, we were watching, he goes, "You're going to get up and do your Ray Lewis dance." And I said, "I did it right in the living room. I did my little fist pump with the high kick." I was, oh, man. I mean, this man is powerful. I'm so glad to have him on. And if no fans watched it, I don't know if the NFL Network's going to air a replay. You can actually find snippets of the videos on Ravens.com. I don't know if you saw it, Brandon, but it was, wow. I'm not going to give it away if you haven't seen it. I don't know if you have you?
I DVR'd it. I haven't had a chance to watch it because I had a late night. I was doing What the Puck, that podcast, so I didn't get a chance to watch it yet, but I'm very excited to watch it. I've heard great things, and I'm sure, you know, if you have digital cable, which the majority of people do, the NFL Network, I know, is showing this like four or five times over this weekend, so just go through there, find it, and record it, and watch it. I saw the last couple minutes. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but there was a really funny bit that I absolutely loved, and it shows you kind of the person that Ray Lewis is that he gets the schedule for the upcoming season on his phone, and he was like, "Oh, these guys are coming here. They're coming to M&T. They're doing this. They're doing that." It's like, man, they're in for a beating, man. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, buddy, it's going to be fun. We got some great marquee matchups this year on the docket for down at the M&T Bank Stadium. Can't wait to get after it, and we're ready for football night in America, football night in Maryland, and we've been waiting all week for Sunday night. Sunday night is Ravens night. Let's go, Brandon.
Oh, I'm very excited, man. This is going to be great. Everybody out there, have a great Purple Friday. Make sure, if you want any more Ravens information or anything like that, follow me on Twitter, at Brando Cash. And Josh, you're on Twitter too, and you're always kind of putting out Raven information out there. Where can people follow you?
They can find me, my crazy post, at Italian GQ52. I'm getting too wound up already.
You just want to get to that 52, man. I know what that stands for.
Well, when he does that dance on Sunday night, boy, man, ooh, It's powerful. I love it. It's electric, and I'm already I might pop into Football Life now just to get fired up.
That's great, man. So if anybody out there is wants to check out any more about the call or anything like that, go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. You'll find out information about the call and all the other shows that are on the At Brando Cash Network, including Poe's Peep Show, which is an all-woman podcast about the Ravens. And let me tell you, that show has been off the air for the last couple weeks due to you know not being able to get everybody together and that whatever. Don't worry, the show is coming back. We do plan to record on Monday, so that'll be back next Monday. I know it's been gone for a little while, but it's okay. Poe's Peep Show will be back, and the call will even be back next week. So Josh and I are going to figure out when we can talk, and hopefully it'll be ready, and you'll get maybe we'll get to talk about maybe two games in a week, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, we'll work on the schedules. All of our fans out there, I'm going to communicate with them, but it should be a good treat. I kind of like it. I can't wait. And like I said, hopefully we get to hear a show next week. And I'm happy to hear the Peep Show's back. I kind of missed it.
I'll make sure to tell the Peepsters that you said that. But anyway, go Ravens. Hope you beat the Patriots on Sunday. Everybody have a great Purple Friday. Josh, I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, Brandon. Go Ravens.
This has been a production of the At Brando Cash Network.